I'm excited about it this morning. Lord, I thank you so much that we can come in your house today, Lord, and it's just to celebrate all the things that have taken place in people's lives, the milestones of graduating and moving on to the next grade level, the next place in life. Lord, we lift them up to you and pray that, Lord, they feel your presence in your leading, and they listen to your leading, Lord. They hear your voice over everything else and are drawn close to you. Lord, we thank you that you desire to lead us in our lives. Lord, help us. Help us all to hear your voice and follow you in places you want to take us. As Miss Brenda was sharing how she gave every reason, but when she heard your voice, it was just irresistible. And your encouragement and how you encourage us to follow you into a deeper relationship, into being used by you to bless other people. Lord, I thank you that she listened. I thank, Lord, help us to listen. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. And all God's children said, amen. And we've been going through Philippians in the second chapter, and Paul has been encouraging us to have the same mind and the same attitude as Jesus. Not one that's similar, not one that's kind of like, but the same attitude and the same heart, the same mind. And we can have this because of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Isn't that encouraging? But it's also difficult, isn't it, in life? You know, Paul's encouraging us in this because it's really important that we walk with the same attitude that Christ had. That we let the Holy Spirit move in our lives in such a way that he transforms the way we think to be like his. Because sin came into the world and it brought corruption, brokenness. It brought a place where our minds, that we didn't seek after Christ. We didn't want to do the things that Jesus, that's pleasing to God. We needed a Savior to come in and give us an opportunity to walk with him. And he gives us his Holy Spirit to do this. Sin causes us to be selfish at our core. But Jesus' mind and his attitude is selfless. And we're at the point in our study, as we get up to verse 7, that we're going to be looking at how Jesus shows us in Scripture how to walk with this same attitude and this same mind. And hopefully we're encouraged to take that step with him, even more so in our daily walk, as we walk out of this room and we walk into the real world, in a sense. That we have this attitude that is the same. Because we battle the flesh, don't we, every single day? It wants to rise right up. One of the unique experiences that God has given us is that he not only saved us from death and destruction and separation from him, but he also left the flesh. But it's not hopeless, because he's also given us the Spirit to walk with us, to give us victory over the flesh. But I have to submit to God. And one of the things I think we're going to see come forth as we look at the Scripture and we look at the next few weeks is that we see the attitude of Jesus was submitted to the Father. It was submitted to what he desired and what he wanted. And we had already looked at the word last week or a couple weeks ago, the word kenos, which means to make empty and to make void. And we looked at some other scripture that showed that it is without power, ineffective, but lacking that power. Jesus set aside, he emptied himself to the point where he emptied himself of authority, the throne, his power. And he came in the human flesh like one of us. And he's our great example of how to walk and how to live. But he became dependent. He was obedient. He was a servant. He was a sacrifice. And God himself came into the human flesh. But one of the things that we have to make sure we understand is that he didn't put aside his deity, his character, his love, his holiness, his morality. And he was alive in the Spirit. Unlike when we're born into the world, we're dead in the Spirit because of sin that is alive. Until you come to that saving knowledge of Jesus Christ in your life. And then your spirit comes alive because of him. So he didn't set aside those things, but he emptied himself and became a servant. The king became a servant, the one he didn't have to, but he chose to become a servant to the Father, and he was dependent on him on absolutely everything. That is our example. Have you chosen today to become a servant to the Most High King? Every person in the world has to answer that question: who do I serve? And when I serve that king with Christianity, God desires us to die to ourselves in everything and let him live in us in everything. And we're going to see how Jesus does that. In John 5:30, Jesus says, "I can do nothing on my own initiative. As I hear, I judge." Who's he hearing from? He's hearing from the Father. What the Father says, that's how he judges. It's not his own. "My judgment is just because it comes from the Father, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me." That's Jesus' attitude. That's Jesus' life. I want to serve the Father and do his will. And the Father says this about him: "So it was fulfilled as was spoken through the prophet Isaiah in Matthew 12. Behold, my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall proclaim justice to the Gentiles." And in verse 21, "And his name, the Gentiles, will hope." Because he was obedient to the Father, he became our hope. But the Father was pleased with him because he submitted everything to the Father. And we saw last week also that he did this out of love. It's love that you can submit to somebody else and put somebody else before yourself. If you're married, you know what that's like. When you're tired, you want to do something else, and you see the desire of your spouse, and you say, "You know what? I will do what they want because I love them. And I will serve them because I love them, and I'll put myself second." If you have kids, you understand that as well. "I'll do anything for my kids that's right and good. And I'll lift them up and show them love and take care of them." But you put yourself second. This is what Jesus did. He put himself second, but he was always second. He never had the point where he was, "Okay, now it's my turn. Now you're supposed to serve me too, right? Spouse, children. You're supposed to take care of me now, right? I've taken care of you." There's not that mentality that says, "Okay, now it's your turn to serve me." It's, "I will always serve you. If you happen to serve me, that's your love back to me." But oftentimes our flesh rises up and says, "Well, it's my turn. It's about me now." And we get in the way, but that's not Jesus. That's not what he does. In John 5:36, "But the testimony which I have is greater than the testimony of John, for the works which the Father has given me to accomplish." Everything Jesus did was about the works of God, the Father. He had a purpose. Friends, we have a purpose. God has a purpose for every one of us, and that is to know him and have a relationship with him. If you have chosen other things this week that is not for relationship with him, you've missed out. You've missed out, because your purpose in life is to know who he is, to walk in a relationship with him every day, every moment, every decision submitted unto him. "God, what do you want in my life?" The flesh will rise up and say, "This is what I want, God, but this is what I want. So will you do what I want?" And we miss out. But not Jesus. That's not how he walked. So Paul's going to encourage us to have the same attitude and the same mindset if we want to walk in abundance of life. There's two scriptures that they're parallel scriptures that we're going to go through. Matthew 4:1-4 and Luke 4:1-4. And we're going to touch upon those and see a little bit more digging into Jesus' life. "Then Jesus was led up," in Matthew 4:1, "Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after he had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, he became hungry. And the tempter came to him and said, 'If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread.' But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone. But check this last part out. But on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's our verse today. Do you live for every word that comes out of the mouth of God? If you seek after that in your life, you are on a good way. You're in a good way. God's going to give you direction. He's going to give you what you need. You're going to have the fulfillment of what God wants to give you in your life if you desire for every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Your spouse is going to see a difference. They're going to notice when you do that and when you choose not to. Your kids will see a difference. Your friends will see a difference. They will see something different in your life because that is a life changer. It's absolutely opposite than what the world desires. Because the world desires for what I can do. The youth, those who graduated, my encouragement is to you. Every word that comes out of the mouth of God, seek that. Because if you seek anything other, you're going to go down a path and it is going to lead you in ways that it might be fulfillment and fulfilling here on this earth, but it's not deep soul fulfillment. It's not deep soul fulfillment. But when you desire for every word of God, every word that comes out of His mouth, then you're going to have joy that's inexpressible. You're going to have a deep love that is full. And you will be firm in the midst of any trial that goes through your life. Because you know He's there with you. I encourage you to seek Him out in every word. For those who haven't graduated, or at least at one point, or who are here today, I encourage you to do the same. Seek after God in everything. Jesus was led by the Spirit. And the gospel writer wants us to understand that Jesus' ministry was a direct dependence upon that Spirit for leading. And the Father's direction was through the Spirit. That's the same for us today. The Holy Spirit was given to us to give us direction. God gives us direction through His Spirit, who is God Himself in us, so we can have that same mind and that same attitude and walk with Him. Jesus was God's servant, and all He wanted to do was to please the Father. So is our mindset that? Do we want God to be His servant every day? Do we want the Spirit to actually direct our lives? Do we want to be dependent upon Him? Those are huge questions for us, because those are daily life. Those are walking with Jesus, I'm His disciple questions. Is it possible that we don't want to follow Him because we're too scared? Because of what He might ask me to do. You've been there? Well, Lord, I did that, and You might ask me to confront that. You might ask me to confront that person. You might ask me to confess a sin. You might ask me to go to this other country. Lord, You might ask me to give that up. My house, my car, my money, my whatever, for somebody else. Are we scared or concerned about those things? Jesus was recklessly abandoned for the Father. His life, I want to serve the King of Kings, which is pretty interesting because He's God Himself in the human flesh, who is the King who gave that up to be a servant. Isn't that amazing? It's absolutely amazing. And He desires for us to do the same thing. Give up everything. Give it all up. I cannot follow after Christ, listen for His voice, and follow every single word that He wants if I'm not willing to give it up. If I'm not willing to give up me for Him, I can't do it. It's impossible. But notice this, Jesus was led into the wilderness for the purpose to be tempted by Satan. For the purpose. God gave the Spirit, said, go into the desert, and He's going to be tempted. And Luke 1:4-1 says, and Jesus' Spirit returned. It's in the indicative aorist, means that this is something that took place, it happened, from the Jordan, and was led by It's in an imperative tense, and it's passive, which means something was acting upon him. He was led by the Spirit in the wilderness. So the Spirit led him into it, said, I'm taking you there. Why? Jesus, the Father, sending him in for there's a purpose to test his character, to prove how dependent is he on the Father. How really dependent is he? Because Jesus gave up so many things. Will he remain dependent? Will he be faithful? Or will Jesus try to handle this tempter, the Satan that's going to be there on his own strength? Will he try to do this life on his own? Or will he trust God, the Father, for the strength and direction that he needs? This is a great test. It's a preparation for his ultimate test when he went to the cross. If Jesus isn't going to make it during this test, there's absolutely no way he's going to make it to the cross. Might as well give it up. We know that Jesus does make it through this test. But it makes me think, can't question, how can this be that God would do such a thing? Isn't he loving? Isn't he supposed to protect us from evil? But God, isn't he sending him right out into the tempter's face? Yeah, he is. Because he is testing his character. Do you think God won't do that for you as well? Do you think he's going to keep you in a bubble? Do you think he's going to keep you away from all the things that are evil? And that's what God wants in your life? No, he's going to test your character. He's going to test how dependent upon you, him you are. How much of a disciple are you? When temptation comes, what do? Do you give in to it? Or do you run to Jesus? Do you run to God? We're all tempted. Every single one of us. What do you do with it? Where's your faithfulness? This word tempt is periazo. It also means test. But depending on how it's used and who it comes from will determine what it is. If it's from God, it's always a test. If it's from Satan, it's always a temptation. From the test is to test for the purpose of ascertaining his quality, what he thinks, how he behaves of himself, to see what the character is of something. To tempt, when it's used as a temptation, it's used to solicit sin or to tempt into something to break obedience. We're confronted with those issues every day. Sometimes we understand when God is testing us and Satan is tempting. But every single situation is to test your character and to show you victory in your life. Every single time, to show victory in your life. God's loving, and he sees from this eternal perspective. And we've talked about Paul looking for the eternal purpose, sharing Jesus with other people so that other people will know the Savior so that they are not living apart from him for eternity, right? We saw that in chapter 1, all through chapter 1. God has that same eternal perspective. That's why Paul has it. I'm looking for eternity. Jesus is saying, you know what? I don't really care how much you mess up. Really don't care. But my most important heart is and desire is, will you turn to me? Will you ask me for help? Will you eventually at some point in your life turn to me and say, God, I need you because I can't do this life on my own. I need you to do it all for me. And that's really opposite of what the world teaches, isn't it? We grow up teaching our kids how to handle themselves, how to be on their own, how to be independent. And God is saying, well, I really don't want independence. I want dependence upon me in absolutely everything. He proves our obedience. He shows our dependency. And that will affirm our salvation. If you walk and you're like, I struggle. I can't do this Christian ease life thing. Because I can't live out the Ten Commandments. I can't live out what is pleasing to God. I just fumble, stumble, and fall all the time. That's okay. Because we're weak. And God is showing you how weak you are. But then when you turn and say, God, I need your help, he says, okay, let me lift you back up. Let me direct you and guide you and mold you and change your thinking. Let me change you so that you can walk with me in victory. Those are the affirming aspects of our walk with Christ. When you say, and it starts when you say, Jesus, I need you. I need you because I need a Savior. And now I need you to help me walk with you. Because if I don't ask you for help, guess what? I'm going to walk just like the world is. And I'm going to know this Jesus guy, but I'm going to walk just like the world, and I'm not going to be a disciple of his. So if you walk out of this room and you go through life this week and you don't ask Jesus for help on how to respond to your spouse, how to respond to your kids, how to respond in work, guess what? Are you a disciple of Jesus Christ, or are you just walking through life? You can answer that question. If that happens day in, day out, day in, day out, you have to sit back and ask, who am I really living for? And then you have a choice to make. And the choice is simple. God, I need your help. I need your help not to do that. I need your help to accept you for salvation. But salvation is not just accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. It's now accepting him as a Lord in your life. Surrendering your life to him. If you've heard a gospel that says just accept Jesus as your Savior and that's it, that's all you have to do, live how you want to, you haven't heard the gospel. That's perversion of the gospel. The gospel truth is surrender to him at the cross because he is the Lord God Almighty. Now serve him with your life. Take that journey and walk with him. Let him show you how that looks, because it's going to be different for each of us. Each of us have gone through different struggles and different trials. We accepted Christ at different points in our lives. Some of us have gone through some really difficult stuff, and it's hard to die to some of those things. Some of us grew up selfishly, and it can be hard to die to those things. But guess what? The victory is in Jesus. If you ask him for help, he says, okay, I'll help you get over that. I'll help you forgive that person. I'll help you not be selfish. I will help you. I will help you do it all, because guess what? My desire for you is that you know me. And when you know me, you start to grow in me. I can change you. And then any good thing that comes out of us, we look and say, look what God did in my life. Look what he did. Not, hey, you know what? This is what you got to do. This is Christianity 101. You got to do this. Check that one off. Got to do this one. Got to do this one. Got to do this one. Got to do this. Make sure you're reading your Bible enough. Make sure you're praying enough. Make sure you're doing all these things. That makes you a good guy, good girl, good Christian. Now, who's the focus in on that one? Oh, yeah, the focus is on me. I haven't changed a thing. I've just modified my behaviors. I haven't changed the internal parts of me. Only Jesus can do that. And we saw that in Romans 7 and 8. My mind could want to please God, but my flesh has got it controlled until I'm saved and freed from the flesh by the Spirit of God who comes into my life. Now I'm a new person. And now I can actually serve God because it's the Spirit who's living in me that's causing me to live for him. So these temptations that we go through, they're here to test us, to approve, to show us our salvation, to affirm it in our lives so we don't have to question it. If you have a relationship with Jesus, you enjoy him. That's a good thing. You want to spend time with him. It's a good thing. And you talk to him. That's a good thing. And say, God, I need you. I need your help. Man, that's a great thing. Because then he's going to show you how he's going to give you victory over that sin area in your life. He's going to give you victory over it. He's going to change your heart from a selfish, selfish person to see lovingly. People who struggle with any addiction, it's all selfish. We just happen to see those addictions a little bit easier, and we hide some of those addictions, don't we? Pornography is an easy one to hide. It's selfish at its core because you're looking at people selfishly for your own selfish gain. But Jesus, when you say, God, I need your help to stop that, he says, okay, I will change the way you think, and I'll put my heart in you, and that heart is going to look at them in love. And they're going to lift them up and care for them and put you second. And that desire to see somebody in a bad light will go away. But the evil one will always come and try to tempt you with it, especially once you give into something like that or some other particular sin. It could be lying, stealing, anything. He will try to wrap you back in, and your flesh will say, hey, I desire that because I've already known what it's like. So you need to live in the Spirit. Die to sin. Die to self. You know, Jesus, was in that, in Matthew 4:2, he says, after he fasted for the 40 days and nights, he became hungry. In Luke 4:2, it says, in 40 days, being tempted. Gives a little bit better, deeper picture for us. Being tempted. It's in the present participle meaning and passive, which means it's continually happening. It's happening, somebody's doing it to him. And this person's the devil. So for 40 days, he's continually being bombarded by Satan, trying to be tempted to be disobedient to the Father. Could you imagine that 24/7, every single day? If he's disobedient one time, friends, we don't have a Savior. We're damned to hell, every one of us. If he doesn't make it through this test, we're done. We're done. And he ate nothing in those days, and he became hungry. So not only is he being tempted, he's hungry. Vulnerable. Hungrier you get, tired you are, aren't you? Less food you have, you're spent physically. There's only so much you can do when you fast for that long. There's only so much you can do. You're absolutely, think of the focus that Jesus would, I need the Father to make it through these next moment. The next moment, the next moment. Have you ever gone through something that's very difficult in life and your heart is wrenched by it? Death, tragedy, something. And you're like, I need God to make it through this next moment. This next moment. This next moment. When we stop saying, God, I need you to get it through the next moment, then I open myself up to the temptations of the evil one's going to say, God doesn't care for you. God doesn't like you. God hates you. Look what he did to you. When I lose focus. When I stop depending upon God. So Jesus, he's in the desert. 40 days. It's an absolute parallel to the Israelites for the 40 years in their wilderness. They were tested and they failed. Continually failing. One after another. God testing their character. But Jesus comes out. He doesn't make a gold calf like the Israelites did to worship. He says, no, I need the Father. Every word that comes out of his mouth, I'm dependent upon that. I need him. You know, which makes me think, Jesus in the desert for 40 days, being tempted, if there's at one time he could have feared. If he fears, he can make a bad choice. If he stops trusting God, he can make a bad choice. Because don't we make bad choices when we fear? When we question? Those are the times when we need to stop. Say, God, I need your help here. I need your help because I don't know what to do and I'm scared because when we're scared, we stop in our relationship with God sometimes. And we try to make that next step on our own without him. And we can't do it. Those are the times when we need to stop. But Jesus isn't scared. He's trusting. And he was faithful to God the Father during this time. And he says in Hebrews 2:18, for since he himself was tempted in that which he had suffered, he is able to come to the aid of those who are tempted. 40 days nonstop being tempted by Satan. I think Jesus knows what he's doing. I think he's gone through the same struggles that I have, and I think he's been victorious. I know he's been victorious. So if I go to him, he understands my thought process. If you think I'm going through this issue and nobody understands, well, maybe us people here don't, but God does. He understands to the detail of what you're going through. And guess what? When you think sin is so overwhelming and there's absolutely no way I can go and I can get over this addiction that has got me gripped, I can't get free from it. Yes, you're right. You can't get free from it. But Jesus is going to say, but I can get you from it. I can free you from that if you trust me and walk with me. There's victory in Jesus. This victory isn't just life from death. This is victory in life, in obedience with him. I'm in an impasse. It's been 30 minutes. It's 12:16. It's been a long morning. And I'm only halfway through. Lord, All right, there's some affirmation. Okay, the identity test. Matthew 4:3, the tempter came and said to him, "If you're the Son of God, command and tell these stones to become bread." And in Luke it says, the devil said, "If you're the Son of God, tell or command these stones to become bread." Basically the same thing. Satan starts to challenge Jesus' identity. Watch how crafty and smooth he is. See if he does this in your life. He wants Jesus to prove who he is. Show me and the world actually who you are. Promote yourself. Satan is asking Jesus to try something, to respond to a question, to listen to him, not the Father. Listen to him. It's so, so subtle. Jesus is going through a struggle, right? He's hungry. How easy would it have been at any point in time to say, turn to bread, I'm going to eat something. But the Father didn't say, turn it to bread. He didn't say that. The evil one said, turn it to bread. So who does he listen to? Well, you know, I know who I am. I know I'm God in the flesh. Boy, if I'll quiet him down. I'll quiet him down if I answer that question. He'll shut up. But no. If Jesus follows him, he is listening to Satan and not the Father. He's being obedient to the evil one and being disobedient to the Father. So he doesn't say anything, but he shows who he listens to and follows. It's the Father. He doesn't let the other distractions of the world come in and dissuade him and to pervert what he knows is right and true. If God says it's right and true and good, he's going to go with it, and he's going that direction. His allegiance is to the Father. And we see this humility and dependence and the wisdom of Jesus in how he responds. And in Luke 4, in Matthew 4, Jesus responds, but he answered and said to him, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but in every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." If God says to turn it into bread, I'm going to do it. If you say it, I'm not. I will listen to you, Father. These are direct words spoken out of Deuteronomy 8. As God is talking to the Israelites, and we don't want to miss this, "And all the commandments I am commanding you today that you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply, and go in the land and possess the land which I swore to your forefathers. You shall remember all the way that the Lord had led you out of the wilderness these 40 years, that he might humble you, testing you, knowing what's in your heart." This is what's happening for Jesus in this 40 days. Whether you keep his commandments or not, he humbled you and let you be hungry and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. These are the words that Jesus is speaking to Satan. He's speaking truth straight back to the enemy. If the enemy tempts you, speak the truth of God's word right back to him. If the enemy says, "God doesn't like you," speak the truth. "God died for me on the cross. He loves me. He loves me." Speak the truth back. Open your word. Open the word and understand it. Read it. Know it. Get the truth of God's word in your life so that you can speak against the snares of the enemy and not be overtaken. But Jesus speaks truth. In John 8:28, Jesus says, "When you lift the Son of Man, you will know that I am he. I do nothing on my own initiative, but I speak the things that the Father has taught me." It's only what Jesus wants to speak, what he was taught by the Father. We're taught by the Spirit. The Spirit, Jesus, and the Father are God together, one, and acting in three persons. They know each other. And when the Spirit speaks to us, he's speaking, this God himself is speaking to us. Listen to his words. Don't do anything unless he tells you. Wait. Wait on him. Jesus was dependent completely on the Father's voice. Because he knows that life comes from the Father. Life comes from God. Our life comes from him. That's why, graduates, as you go, seek after God with all your heart. Us who will be here as they leave, seek God with all your heart. Don't let the words of family members, words of friends, distract you from what God says about you and who you are, your identity and who he is. He loves you. You're special. You're precious. You're desired. You're wonderful. Those are God's words to us. But sometimes we don't hear that from other people, or we're not treated that way. Don't let that dissuade you and distract you from what God thinks of you. Don't let the enemy use people to cause you to become obedient to them and what they believe about you, but what God believes about you. So this is the mindset. This is the mindset that we're supposed to have, that Jesus had. Do you want to hear his voice and direct you in all you do, say, and think? He'll do it. He will want that conversation with you if you just desire to talk with him. He will share with you. He will direct you and guide you. He will create in a heart in you that says, God, I need your help. And he will show you where you desire not to have help and where he wants you to lay that down so he can help you in everything. And that his words will be the ones that will come out of your mouth. Not what you think. Not what you want to say. Not what the flesh is rising up in, but God's words. That's what's most important. Serving him with your life. He desires obedience, not sacrifice. We've read that in the scriptures. Obedience to him. This is what Jesus shows us. Sacrifice and obedience. Lord, I thank you so much for your word this morning. I thank you that you guide and direct us and you lead us. Lord, you desire for absolutely 100% of us. Not 90%, not 99% of us. You desire 100% of us to surrender to you and to let you take control of our lives. Lord, help us to do that. Help us to submit to you and to let you take control. Lord, teach us. Teach us your ways. And all God's children said, Amen. Amen.